you have your Bibles tonight, turn in the book of 1 Kings in the 19th chapter. Tonight we're going to be talking about a person by the name of Elijah. Elijah had just came through an experience that, as I read it, you would think that it would be more than enough than to cause him to ever doubt God again. You would think that seeing the fire come down and lick up the very ground that he offered, when he soaked all the wood to the point that science said it couldn't burn, yet God burned it up to show and prove who he was and the word that was coming through him to the people he was giving it to. So he came through this miraculous experience. One of these once-in-a-lifetime testimonies. But then, the nation he gave a word to, the people that he proved wrong, had a problem with that. Had a beef with it, if you will. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is point one of the presentation. You better realize, if you're ever going to obey God and you do something good, that when the enemy finds out what you're up to, he's going to be on your heels telling you that you're not worth anything, that what you did was a waste of time, and you might as well run away because he's coming for you. If you ever do any good, you better expect the enemy to not be pleased with what you're doing. So he hears word from the queen that she's going to get him. And not just get him like coming up to him and saying, "I demand an apology." She was wanting his head. That's a slightly different form of hostility than what we're accustomed to. We think we know what drama really is. But talk to me about if you knew that somebody wanted your head, if you'd be as bold as you are with your life. We have people right now, good people, humanitarians, people giving back out of their Christian heart, that are being beheaded today. We are facing nations that call out to many different other gods, but all of them are leading to the destruction of those who claim the Most High God. And I would like to, at times, just to turn off the TV and pretend like life's not going on, but it's going on, whether I want to acknowledge reality or not. There was even a most recent terrorist attack even in Israel, the very nation of God. And we're beginning to see these things come about. So let me ask you an important question. With what you have left, what are you going to do with it? With what you still got in the tank, what are you going to make of it? If God has given you something that has caused him to be proven real to you, I identify with this. You would think that some of the things God has done for us would be more than enough. But we find a man that, if we had shared the miracle that he had, it may have been enough for us. But when he received word of opposition, fear crept in to his life. I see progress in this church. I see our attendance moving forward, going up. I see different people that God is sending to bless them and to save them and to help them. And when this begins to occur, let me tell you what begins to happen. The enemy tries to creep in from the outside looking in. He'll start messing with you, whether you're at your job or whether you're trying to do something even in the very ministry in the church. He begins to infiltrate where there is weakness. And as he begins to infiltrate, he just wants to get word to you that he's coming to destroy you. We're already made aware in the Bible that the enemy is like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he can devour. And every day that we're not living to our full potential, and I'm talking about not doubting yourself, when I'm talking about believing in who you are and who God is in your life, when we don't live up to that potential, then wickedness is coming in greater. I'm here to tell you that there are greater evils that we've not even begun to comprehend that are going to come. Things that our minds couldn't even create. There's a generation coming up that's coming up with things that are far more wicked than things we ever did, the things we ever partied with, the substances that we ever chose to do. They're far more evil than we had them when we were younger. But you know what has caused the hand of God to intervene? When he had servants that believed in themselves. You might not think that you can make enough of a difference to repel evil, but that is why Jesus came to dwell in you, so that evil would no longer prevail. And to have the mind of Christ will cause us to repel, to resist, to rebuke the things that try to attack our mind. Because let me tell you, some of these shooters that have done these acts were just another mother's son that had a couple problems. Some of the people that commit these acts that come out of the army, they're dealing with PTSD and they don't know what to do. There's things that are out of their own control that has to take something better than therapy. Amen. Come on, you know where we're going. Something better than just medication. Something better than psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, mediators, whatever you want to put there. We're trying to put some kind of filler in between where God needs to come in and where the enemy needs to go, because the part of us that should be believing with every fiber of our being is running with our head tucked between our legs. We've had more than enough to have enough to believe in. I'm going to pause right there for 30 seconds and give you a chance to catch up. Think about it. We have had so much. We're not hungry. We're not suffering. We're not under threat or attack on a daily basis. Our homes aren't being bombed. We don't have people coming up on our house calling it theirs in the name of Allah. We have so much to look at and identify that we should be thankful for. We think that we have family problems, but there's real problems where they're literally having to lay in front of their children to spare them from gunfire. We have so much more to be thankful for. But you see, God sees us in the moments when we even doubt ourselves. So we begin to read this scripture in 1 Kings 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow at this time." She didn't even give very much of a time frame. She said, "I want him gone by tomorrow." I feel this. I have to say it. You think you know what evil is, but then when you're not ready, evil comes. You think you've known what true drama is, but if you are unprepared, it will overwhelm you. I feel like I had to say that. I don't know why. You better be aware of your surroundings. Then you better be putting in rebuke the things that would try to hinder you. And it's the little foxes, Brother Matt, that spoil everything in our life. It only takes one outburst. It only takes one change of attitude to give enough ground where the devil can get in our lives. I can't say that you'll never live your life without trouble, but I can tell you that you can rebuke an attitude. Come on, help me preach tonight. I'll get back there and amen myself. Don't tempt me. I've done it before, Joe, and I'll do it again. So she said, "I want him gone tomorrow, by tomorrow." And he catches word, and what does he do? I'll tell you what he doesn't do. He doesn't look at what God had just performed. And don't you consider the miracle that if we had one man that he moved through his petition, and one man that slayed all of the prophets, and the prophets of the grove, those that represented Baal in the grove, do you not think that he would have had enough strength within him, instead of turning away from the situation, that he would have said to himself, "Well, you know what I just did, and I'm going this way." But fear is powerful. The uncertainty of the unknown can drive us crazy. And that's the factor that the Spirit has come for us to overcome. You see, he walked with an anointing, but he had to hear from God to know how to get rid of fear. But what I'm talking to you tonight about is when you're looking at the things that you are uncertain of the unforeseen, you know what Jesus said? Fear not. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. His encouragement should have been enough. But he loved us enough to say that even though I leave, I will send something to you to minister to your fear. Jesus came and saved our souls so that we would never have to live in fear of going to hell. But the Spirit came so that we would have the power to rebuke the oncoming fear that is present about us. There are some of you tonight that are looking at your uncertainty and you're afraid to move because you don't know which direction you need to be going, and you're too afraid to even live your life and enjoy it for fear of what may come of it. And I'm here to minister to you tonight and tell you that the very thing that we're about to read that encouraged Elijah is the very spirit that's within you. Say, it's in here. Look at yourself. Say, it's in here. Look at somebody and say, it's in here. The very thing that you need to overcome fear is there. When Jesus came, we no longer have to lay our head down in fear of where we'll go if we don't get up again. But the Spirit has come that if I do get up again, when the devil comes to taunt me and make me think I'm not going, that I can remind him of the Jesus that lives in me. The way you do that is by the quickening of your mortal body. You know what that's talking about? The quickening of the recognized fear. When you see that it's coming up in you, that's the time to rebuke it. Look over at somebody and say, when you feel it, rebuke it. I don't care if it's a head cold, somebody that just came against you. When you feel something that is a fear and not of God, that's the time. Man, I feel it right now. I don't know who I'm talking to. When you feel it coming against you, that's the time to do something about it. Don't wait till you get here. You might not even get here again. Life happens. There's some people that used to go here, but things have happened. We've had, probably the way I've tried to count it, we've had 3 different rotations of full members in this place. People in and out. Life happens. Things out of our control. And I'm here to tell you, one day that you miss don't feel like a big deal. But another day that you miss that encouragement, and another day, more emptiness begins to set inside of you. And the more room, how do I put this? The less of the anointing you receive makes more room for other spirits to dwell. If you don't want to receive of his presence greater, then when it comes time for you to rebuke this stuff, you won't be ready. Because what should have you overflowing and has no room for doubt, there's room. I'm talking to your fears today. When I was studying, I'd worked so much this week that I had to take off today because I'd already worked so much over a regular schedule. And God gave me the entire day to meditate and study. And I played my guitar, I worshiped, I sang, I was feeling encouraged. And when God gave me this mat, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. It seems like that all that I'm ever talking about is dealing with evil and wickedness. But I'm reminded that all that you read towards the end of the book is when wickedness and evil begins to rise up greater. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. You know what happens when you accept compromise? You're making room for other spirits. You want to tell people it's okay for them to live in their sin because it's your children and you love them? You're the only one that's going to have to deal with the fact that you compromised. It doesn't change the fact that they're this way or that way. But there needs to be something stronger in you that refuses to compromise. That same boldness that was upon Elijah that caused him to slay all those who doubted God is the same boldness that God wants you to have every single day. When the enemy would come and even go as far as to cut himself to prove his point, you better have something real inside of you to be able to handle what's out there. I'm giving you an emergency preparedness kit, because when you feel it, you better get rid of it. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Could have said he tucked his head in between his legs and took off running. Came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came down and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." And as he laid there, he went down, he went to sleep with his fear. Do you see that? He laid down with his fear. And as he lay there asleep, behold, then it says an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." I feel his presence. I just want to praise him right now. Aren't you glad that in your worst fears that God doesn't leave you? When you doubt yourself the worst, aren't you glad that God does not leave you? Because even when your fear doesn't allow you to even see within you the God that we know is real, his anointing comes to encourage you and to remind you by faith you are not as one that has to be afraid anymore. He didn't leave him even hungry. You're praying for direction. People praying for direction in here, you be as bold as to lift up your hands in this place. Anybody praying for direction in your life lately? We're all looking for where we should be. We're all looking for what we should be doing. But we have got to get a handle on all the things that we're compromising in here. Because if you don't already know, beyond all doubt, in whom you believe, then when it comes time to rebuke this stuff, you will not be prepared. The whole precipice of being a witness is being able to handle something in an unprepared situation. When Stephen was stoned, he did not cower down in fear. I see something in that man that had no fear. When the stones were being thrown, he did not lay down and give up. Man, I feel God right now. He did not lay down and give up. And I'm talking to every one of you in this place right now. It's not time to give up. It's not time to run to the cave of where your forefathers once were and say, "I'm not worthy to keep going." It's not time to say, "I can't do this." We all as Christians get discouraged from time to time. All of us. We are all tempted to get discouraged. And look, verse 6. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What dost thou do here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." This verse represents the true despair of a human being. And some of you might be feeling despair, but read on with me tonight. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was earthquake. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire," somebody say that with me, "a still small voice." And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant." He's basically repeating himself to the same question that he'd already got. Verse 15, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimelech shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left thee 7,000 in Israel." What he is speaking 7,000 to me isn't as significant as the fact that he reminded him that there are others who have not bowed. This encouragement, sometimes we take it for granted. We look over it. You want to know how you know? Come to church and don't enjoy each other's company. Not come in and enjoy the praises of one another. Being able just to celebrate his presence. But we're worried and living in fear of the things that try to hinder us. Worried about what somebody will think if I get up and praise him. Worried about what somebody will think if I sing two songs in a row. Worried about what people are going to say if my sermon goes beyond 45, 55 minutes. Listen, if it's good food, I'll eat it all night long. I'm just going to be real with you. He did not leave him without encouragement in this hour. And he reminded him that there were others that had not bowed. And I'm glad that in our pity parties, God does not leave us. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again for what I have done to thee." And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Do not look at your fear as something you must settle to live with. For God reminds us in his word that he did not put within us a spirit of fear. You know that how we get rid of the spirit of fear? A perfect love. You know what the perfect love is? It's God's love. You know what's God's love represented in you? The Holy Spirit in you. When we have his Holy Spirit living in our lives and working in our lives, it takes the things that we would normally be afraid of and causes us to look at it in a different way. When the Spirit conquers your fears, you know how you begin to look at something? By faith. You stop looking by sight and saying, "I cannot." And the anointing of God gives you the ability to conquer your fear and to look at the things you never thought you could achieve or do and say, "I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength." When I was at my worst estate in my life, I was 22 years old. I'd already had 8 long years of addiction. Most people on average today don't live beyond the first 2. But I'd had about roughly 8 of it. Threw away any good job I had. Threw away the love of my life. Threw away going to college. Threw away everything. Some would like to say that, brother, it was probably the drugs that kept you down that long. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes the drugs aren't there. But yet you're still in that estate. And as I examine my life and look back on it now, I know that the greatest bondage I had was not any kind of physical ailment. If God had the power to resurrect the dead, then I know that my physical symptoms of drug abuse were nothing. But let me tell you about what I know beyond all doubt kept me gripped for so long. I was afraid of if I could be a success. I was afraid if I was ever going to do something with my life. I was afraid that I couldn't graduate college. I was afraid that I could not accomplish what everybody around me had told me all my life that I could do. And one day, I don't know when, I just gave up on the hope that I was ever going to be something. Yeah. And if you walk around in that kind of shape long enough, the devil is going to come and seek your life to destroy you. And there are young women, young men out there today that are not bound by anything that God couldn't heal, but they are held by something far greater than any kind of substance. I have seen people be prayed over and deliverance come for them. They feel God's anointing and they go out and be delivered. But when they have to walk back in the same situation that they were in before, they were too afraid to fight with what God had given them. And they fell right back into the same life that they once had. Fear is a powerful thing. Fear is one of the toughest emotions to conquer. But aren't you glad you have something that allows you to overcome? If he didn't leave him in the cave, and he didn't leave David flat on his face, and he didn't leave Abraham or Joshua Moses, Ezekiel, or Isaiah, if he didn't leave any of the descendants that he sent forth, he sure didn't leave the disciples. And if he didn't leave the disciples, he didn't leave Christ, that's for sure. And if Jesus has never left us nor forsaken us, then that tells me that there are people out there still today that have not bowed. There is still a heart out there that still has hope. There are still people today that have the potential to do great things. But God is wanting you to overcome the fear that is keeping you from being who you can truly be in God. You might think it's foolish that you could ever be somebody that danced before the Lord, but let me tell you, if you begin to feel God and you just try it, you'd enjoy it. But the fact that you can't ever get the first step up off the ground tells me that there's fear that's trying to hinder you from being bolder in His anointing. Some of you have the gift of prayer language. Some of you have the gift of healing. But when it comes time for the enemy to press in and try to destroy us, instead of walking forward and knowing that we can do it, we're going the other way. And the Lord is telling you tonight, as He told Elijah, it's time to arise again. It's time to arise again. For you are not alone in the fight that you're fighting. It's time to overcome the fear that God has given us the ability to overcome.